Can you hear me? Okay, it transmits through this shirt, so. Okay. Sorry, I want to get a little drink of water before I got started. Thank you. He's coming here. And thank you, Dave. Yeah. Pastor wants me to share with you his thanks for your prayers for him. I had a call from him yesterday afternoon asking if I would be willing to take the service this morning and share. And I'm glad to do that. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Bob Littero, and I've been a member of this church since 1947, so I've been around a little bit. And I'm just a joy to be a part of it. I've been a missionary in Papua New Guinea. This will be my 50th year. Shirley and I went there 50 years ago, and I've been back there I've actually been there 46 of those 50 years, and this will make my 47th year to be there. And I have the greatest life in the world. I hope you don't feel sorry for me, but envy me, if envy is okay. But I'm not going to talk about my ministry so much this morning, but tonight I'll be doing that. But I'll be sharing with you a little few of my thoughts. This is sort of hastily prepared, but it is going to be from God's Word. And I think I'll be reading some later. And I'm going to be sharing with you today about, and I think the songs are very appropriate, some of them, because we didn't collaborate on what songs would be chosen. But I'm going to talk to you about spiritual health. Maybe you could entitle this is, Do You Have God's Spiritual DNA in You? I have physical each year. We started when I joined Wycliffe. We had to have that, and I do this every year. Some people, they don't like to go to the doctor. I know one of my colleagues from high school graduated with, he would not go to the doctor. And even when he had bad health, he did not want to go to the doctor because you may find out, I don't know why, might find out something's wrong. But I like to go and find out what's the health like. And so I went again this year. Each time they'll show something like last year, I have a little balance problem, and they suggested an MRI. And they found out that I think I have more air in my head than I had before. It has something to do with the mastoid bone. It's I always knew I was a little bit of an airhead, but I'm more of one now. But they did find out there were a few things, and I've got them there. I don't understand all about them, and I even tried to look them up on the internet, and I guess one of them is a sign that it's something that preemie babies sometimes have, so maybe I'm going back to that sort of situation. But this time, one of my things is an EKG or an ECG. And one of them there said sinus, bradycardia, or something like cardia. Now, what's that? Any nurses or doctors here? So I looked it up on the internet. Oh, it's not a bad thing. It's called athlete's heart. And it is because I have a very slow heartbeat. And it's 51 instead of the normal 60. So sometimes you get something from a doctor's report that, oh, that's good. But sometimes it's not so good. Anyway, I'd like to look at that this morning. And we're going to look through 1 John. I just did a Bible study for the church where I attend down in Florida with my son, his church. And they asked me to teach Sunday school. I was teaching on 1 John. And I was really, really pleased with it. It's always great to get in to study the scriptures. Well, first I'd like to go back and say a little bit about something concerning Brad. And his mother is going to be departing to go to be with the Lord. And if you have a coin, or you can look at, there's death is like a coin. There's two sides to it. On the front side, is God's perspective. And what does God think? It says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. So God is looking forward to that. I think my wife, my mother, God is looking forward to that. But on the other side, the human side, there's a lot of sorrow. And we can look, we can take, in a sense, God's perspective, in the sense that we can share that sorrow. And I love 2 Corinthians 1, where it says, he's the God of compassion, Father of all comfort, and that he comforts us so that we can comfort others. And I think that we, in a time like this, have the privilege of being God's hands. We comfort them. The Holy Spirit comforts them. We can comfort them. And so, in a sense, we're going to be saddened as well. But we can think, well, God is happy. God is with them. And I like to think of Shirley and my mother sitting there like Mary at the feet of Jesus and listening to him. We don't know what it's like, but I think that's a good image for me anyway. I just thought I would like to share that with you. Forgot about that. Got ahead of my notes. Okay, let's go to this. Okay, so we do a health checkup. And every time I go in, they do the vital signs. They put me on a scale. And that usually isn't too bad. Some people say I'm too thin. My brother always says, oh, you're too thin. I've never had the doctor yet to tell me I was too thin, so I'll take his word for it. But they check my weight and see if it's going up or down or anything like that. And then they do these, take my blood pressure and they check my pulse, see what whether it's strong and what it is. So we've got these things that we want to check. And then you can go into even more detail and look at it. And so they get a printout of what they call an executive or something like that. And it tells me all my blood, what it's got in it. And usually the cholesterol is a little bit high. And vitamin D was low. And vitamin B12. And these things, so I take something for that. But it's detailed. But the general one, they always do, there's three things they would check. And then we get details. And I think we can look at that. Maybe our spiritual health, we can look at that also. Let's look at the vital signs. And maybe we can even look at some details as they're given to us in Ephesians or 1 John, the Epistle 1 John. Okay. Now, there are three things that you'll find in 1 John that are very, very important. And we can say these are the three vital signs. One is belief or faith. The second is obedience. And the third is love. And in each of these, and they come out. And I'd like for you this week to sort of promise or pledge or say to read through 1 John and start looking for some of these things. And you'll see it. I go through and mark how many times belief, faith comes in, how many times obey comes in, and how many times love. And we'll look at some of these things this morning. Okay, so what is first of the vital signs is faith. Well, what is faith or belief? And it's interesting that we have, it comes through this throughout the epistle, and it's even commanded. It says that in chapter 3, we're going to go, have your Bibles open because we're going to look at a lot of verses today. But look at 3:23. Okay, I have two Bibles here. I had an old, left my Bible in Kenya. I have to pick it up on my way around this time. So with all my notes, and I picked up a RSV somewhere along the way. And I'll try to maybe go to the NIV as well. Okay, let's see what it says. 3:23. Okay. And this is his command. This is a command that God's given. To believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ Jesus, and to love one another as he commanded us. So we've got all three of them here. Believe, command, and love. All right? So this one thing is and many times you're going to see, as you read it, and I really would encourage you this week to read 1 John 3 and mark the, look how many times command comes through, how many times belief, faith, and how many times love. So there they are. Now, belief, it says believe in Jesus Christ. Now, we don't think too much many times about the name Jesus Christ or Jesus or Christ. But at that time, this was very important. These scriptures were written for a problem. One of is there was a problem in the church at the time. And there were people who said, Christ wasn't really Jesus. Jesus wasn't really Christ. And it was called Docetism. It says, Jesus Christ appeared. When Jesus was baptized, and you'll read it, I won't get into it. Go look at chapter 5. It talks about the water and the blood. Okay? Well, they say when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of Christ came upon him. But before the baptism, Jesus was just a man. He wasn't eternal. It wasn't God-man. It was when he was baptized. And then before the cross, the Spirit of Christ left him. And so the whole thing of the body of Jesus was not really divine. So when they talk about believe in Jesus Christ, and you'll see it coming in through this, is that that was very important, not just believing Jesus is a good man or Christ is a spirit or something like that, but Jesus Christ, the God-man. So it was very important, he said, and so we are to believe that. And so he is the Son of God. 5:1, it says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Okay? So believes that Jesus is the Christ and is born of God. That's very important. And if we don't have, so if we can check that, we don't have that faith. We don't believe not just as Jesus as our Savior, but we believe him as him in him as the Son of God. And if you don't believe him as the Son of God, there's not much power there to do what he came to do. He came to die for us as the Son of God. So that's important. So our faith is not just, oh, I believe Jesus is a good teacher and we should be following him, that sort of thing. No, for us, he is the divine Son of God. So these things will come out, and you'll see them coming in again, out again, if you read through the scriptures. All right. Then it says, there's commands to obey. We're to obey. There's a number of times it will come through there. We read one there. We are commanded to believe and to love. So that is a command, and it comes through here many times, and so that comes through. And I like to look at belief as sort of, I've sort of come up with something here, the orientation to your life. What's the orientation? Belief is where you get the orientation. And you have obedience is where we make an activation of our faith, is the obedience. So you orient your life. Is our life oriented according to God's perspective? Then are we obeying? Is our faith active? And then we'd say love is sort of the motivation for what we do. And psychologists will tell us that belief, what you believe, determines your actions. If you don't believe in God, it's going to show up in your actions. And I've read a lot about, a lot of people feel one of the nice things about being an atheist, you don't have to worry about morals. You don't have to, what's his name? Who was it? Bertrand Russell? No, and Nietzsche and some of these guys, they didn't believe in God, but look at their lives. And part of the reason, it's nice, if there's no God, you can do what you want to. There's no, we're just going to die and that's it and of it. And there's no responsibility. And it's convenient. So that orientation then leads to obeying God, believing Christ leads to obeying Him, and then the motivation for that is love. So we have this. So this you might say our spiritual health, and let's go then to love, and that's where we're going to bring it. I'll read the scriptures this morning. I believe very much. By the way, I bring in a lot of things. I believe very much in using the scriptures, and I'm going to give you a rabbit track. I'm going to get off a little bit here. The use of the scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, until I come, he tells Timothy, give attention to public reading of the scriptures, to preaching and to teaching. And I've gone to many churches where they don't do any of the public reading of the scriptures. And I found it very important because I've had times so I didn't remember a thing, the word, I don't remember a single word that the person said, but I remember what the scriptures were. And so I'm going to reading this, and let's look at this. Love is good. This start with First John chapter 4, verse 7, and we'll go up through maybe 3. So I'm going to read this. I'll read it in the NIV. Okay, 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. That is, he has God's DNA. Okay? Whoever does not love God, does not love, does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son, or only begotten Son, into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. It says this again. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we might have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Chapter 5, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Okay, so here we have love. Now, I have a story about this, 1 John. The founder of Wycliffe Bible Translators was someone by the name of Cameron Townsend. He went to Guatemala and, like a sophomore in college, and sold Spanish Bibles. And people couldn't read them because they were Indians, Cachiquels. He says, hey. Someone said, if your God is so great, why doesn't he speak Cachiquel? And this fellow, he didn't even finish college, and he decided to go back and to translate the Bible for these people. So he started on his own, and he translated the Bible into Kachikel, and it was dedicated, finished in 1930 sometime. And then he got a vision concerned for people, other Indian groups in Mexico and all. So in 1934, he and a group of people went to Mexico and started living amongst the people in order to give them the scriptures. And that's where Wycliffe was started. But anyway, in the late 50s, maybe in the 60s, he got a burden for the minority groups in the Caucasus in Russia. Now that, you know what it was like in the 50s and 60s, you know, the Cold War and that sort of thing. Well, what do you do? But he wanted to go, he would go over there, and he died in 1982, and by the time he died, it had not opened up. It was still very much strong with the Soviet Union. But he was a man of the word. He loved it, and he would meet presidents of different countries. Someone called him a missionary statesman. But when he went to Soviet Russia, what he'd do is he'd take First John, and he'd read this chapter. Who can, you know, the gospel is there, but the love, you know, everyone, oh, God is love. Well, they were atheists, but you say, well, you'd see the love God aspect of God. It would talk about who Jesus was. And so he would meet with them. And when he was living in South America or wherever, and he would invite people in, presidents or governors or whatever, he would always read the scriptures. And that way he would leave the word with him. And I thought this was good. Because who can oppose love? And so this talks about love, where it comes from. And this is the feature, the main distinguishing feature of the Christian is love. Now, it starts with God. God loved us. It's not that we loved him, but he loved us. And that is the model that we have. And you can say the essence of God is love. Now, people sometimes, you're probably not into theology, but they say, well, what's the most primary characteristics of God? Is it holiness or omnipotence? Now, it's sort of, to me, it's not something, or love, you know. God is love. Is God love? Is God holy? Is he omnipotent? And I think that's not an issue. God is all of them. God is all of them. Am I more a father? Am I more a child? Or am I more of a husband? Well, it's all of them. And you can't say, well, you can't separate them off. And but that's it. The essence of God is here. And each scripture, by the way, each scripture will bring out a certain aspect of God. And 1 John is excellent on bringing out love. And the characteristic of the Christian is love. So, if we love, then we live with God, and he lives with us. And now, I don't know, I like to make the scriptures applicable to my life and to think about it. Isn't it wonderful to think that you live with God, and he lives with us. We live with him, he lives with us. And so, there's two things, I think. People that talk about psychology, they'll talk about nature and nurture. Are you familiar with that? Nature. I'm born. There are certain characteristics. I have a lot of my mother's characteristics in me. I got a lot of my father's. There are certain things. And my granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, she's 16 years old. She's got so much of Cheryl in her. She's tall, thin, good with language, not very good with math. I mean, it's there. It's born that way. She's born that way, nature. But there's also nurture. You come up, and those that you live with, you learn to do things. That's learned. It's behavior. And but both of these things from God, we're born of him, right? We have his DNA in us. But he also lives with us through the Spirit. And we live with him. And we learn a lot of what we are like by behavior. The nurture part is by living with him. My father didn't have to tell me that the customer was always right. I observed it. It was interesting. I've been having other people talk about it. And say, oh, you know, if the customer was right. They came in and said, oh, this is not good. You don't question it. You just take care of it. But the idea is you work with someone, you live with someone over a period of time. That's the nurturing part, and you observe that. Well, that's the way it is with the Christian. We have God's DNA in us. That's nature. But we've also got nurturing through the Spirit of God and from other Christians. So God doesn't just leave us alone, but he gives us good models who can teach us what it's like to be one of his children. And that to me is such a privilege, to think that we're children of God and that we are like him in a sense, not because of what we did, but because of what he did, and we have such a privilege. And I think these are things too. I would like to see us allowing the scriptures, by reading the scriptures, by applying the scriptures to our lives, and allowing the Spirit to work in us, that we realize who we are. And I think that's where faith comes in, by the way. Faith isn't just, oh, I believed in Christ and I'm going to heaven and everything's taken care of. But faith is not just living, to realize that all of my life is in God's hand, and that he is wherever we go, whatever the situation is, he is there. And it doesn't mean that we're always going to have success, but God is there, and that is, again, is faith. Okay. Now, it says God is not visible. You can't see him. Right? Has anyone seen God? Anyone be able to take a picture of him? No. And it tells us here, no one has seen God. But through our behavior, people can see something about God. All right? I forgot what the verse is here. But let's see. Anyway, I read it there. Is that people can't see God, but the implication is, but by our behavior, what we see, what people can see, they can see the effects of God. Just like the wind, John 3. You can't see the wind. You can feel it. You can see the effects of it. So you know it's there. And it's the same way with God. We can't see him, but we can see the effects of God in people's lives and the love that they have. Yeah, look here. 4:12. 4:12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So no one has seen God, but if we're the love is the thing that will show that God is with us and that we are children of God. Now, I'd like to take another thing too, and this, let's take a detailed, like I, on my physical, I went in and I gave them my blood. I do this every year, and they take three of those things of blood. Oh, my goodness. And they tell me everything about me, and always, you know, what my cholesterol's like and what the PSA's like, all these things. And so let's sort of do that. But you can look at it, and they'll have different things. You know, this is high or this is low, and I know what it's like. Well, I'd like for us to do something like this here, coming from these scriptures, but it's sort of not so much high and low. I guess you can say high and low, but it's sort of an either or. And we've got two things here. We've got God and we've got the world. Okay? On one side, we've got belief and faith, Christ, God, Holy Spirit. On the other side, we've got the world. And I think we can look and see where are we. I trust that we're with God, and that we know that his DNA is in us, and people can see that we are his children by our lives. Let's look at some of the differences here. Okay, what are some things that we have on the God side? Okay, one is love. All right, well, what do we have on the world side? What does he talk about here? Hate, right? If you say, I love God, but I hate my brother, We're lying. We're not doing the truth. So there's hate. So the world side, it hates. But the God side, we have love. All right? The other thing is life. You have life on God's side. We have hate. We have death on the other. I don't have specific verses for that, but there's a contrast there. And so we can be, if we're not with him, we're on the road to death. If we're with him, we have life, and we know that we have life. And one of the things I like here is going back to the Gospels, John. Christ, he says, the Son came in order that you may have life and have it how? More abundantly, okay? So, on his side is life. And I think the question today, we can do a self-evaluation. Do we have abundant life? Do you feel that you have abundant life? That whatever situation comes, whatever your life, that you have life abundant. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to have sorrows, difficulties, but life is abundant. And I think, I like to look at it. If life is a football game or a basketball game, I don't know if we'll make it to a century or not, but if you think as 100 years as the life, well, I've now entered the fourth quarter. I'm 76 years old, so who knows how far I'll get along. But I'm now in the fourth quarter. Start it. Okay, let's go ahead. We've got life. Then we've got light. And again, in this, he talks about light. In John's gospel, he talks a lot about the light. So with God, we've got light. With Satan, we've got what? The world, we've got what? Darkness. And it says if you walk around in the dark, what's going to happen? You're going to stumble. Your life is going to be really fouled up. When we're walking in light, we're going to have, we know where we're going. And it's wonderful to know where you're going in life. Now, one of the things I do is I have my eyes tested, and I notice I've got a cataract, and I'm already scheduled for surgery when I get back. Because on this side, it's not dark, but, I can't see as well. Well, we need to correct it. So we can have that light. Now, let's look at chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. It says a little bit about this. I am writing you a new commandment. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. Okay, so if you love fellow Christians, you love others, there's nothing to make you stumble. Now that reminds me of something. Do you remember the fruit of the Spirit? Can you think of anything? In Galatians chapter 5. It gives us the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. What does it say about it at the end of it? There is no law against these things, right? There's no law that says you cannot love. There's no law that says you cannot have peace. There's no law. Okay? Well, it's the same here. There's nothing that's going to be against it. So whoever loves his brother lives in light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. So we don't have anything to oppose us, and there's nothing that's going to make us stumble. If you love someone, you're not going to stumble in your walk with the Lord. Now, what is love? It's not, I lived, some of you too young to remember this, but I lived through the 60s. I was fortunately overseas for a large part of it. But you remember they'd have all this love, and it was this sort of touchy-feely sort of thing, and free love and all that sort of thing. That's not love. Love means not you get what you want. You go to Woodstock and that's when you have what. But love is you prepared to lay down your life for someone. And marriage many times, the tragedy of marriage is many people going into it thinking, oh, I'm going to get satisfied. This is the answer to my needs. Well, not you don't go into marriage. You go in as husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. So you go in and saying, I'm to love sacrificially. And if that happens, then you're going to have the kind of oneness that Christ wants, that the scriptures want. But in the 60s, oh, man, I went in 64, went to Papua New Guinea, came back in 69, and you would be amazed at the radical change that took place in those 5 years. And the whole idea of love, everyone loves, well, they didn't. But not from a spiritual perspective anyway. And you look back at it now, and oh, all right. Now, another thing that we have, another thing that we have is we have a contrast. We have confidence versus fear. If you're living in the darkness, you have fear. But if you have God, you're on God's side, you've got confidence. And let's look at here. Look at chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. Okay. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and that we set our hearts at rest in his presence. This is confidence. When our hearts condemn us, and whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. And our dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Okay? We have confidence before God. So do you have confidence before God? Now, it doesn't mean I go in, you know, okay, God, move over. No, I go in, I'm confident, but he's, we call him Abba, Father, Daddy, we feel God. Not that we are overly self-confident, but we just have confidence to go like a child to a father. And I think that's great. So I know that he's concerned about me. And when I go in prayer, I can be with confidence. Not that he's going to give me every one thing I want, because it tells me we ask according to his will. But we can go with confidence. And it was for the first time, when I was teaching this, I realized that, you know, we have confidence. And we have confidence even when our heart condemns us. Does your heart ever condemn you? It does. Mine does. Mine does. But we can have confidence even when our heart condemns us, because many times our hearts deceive us. And they'll try to make us think, oh, God's not going to listen to you, or you've done bad, or something like that. But if we love one another, we can have confidence. We can go into him with fear. And I like the confidence, again, is not putting yourself first, but it's a comfort with God. Maybe that's a better way. Comfort. And I like the thing in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and self-control. We're not timid, we're not afraid because of what God has given us. Okay, we have truth in 3:19. We have truth on one side, on the God side, we have truth. On the world side, we have the lie. 3:19, it says, I'll read this. This is then how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Okay, so we are in the truth. We know the truth. And this is what the world knows, needs. And with the world side, there's lie. And there's so much deception going on today. If you look at TV or just so much of the media, it's a lie. And people think, oh, we're free. But in a sense, their freedom is giving them slavery. So we have the truth. And then we have righteousness on God's side. We have righteousness on the world side, we have sin. And I like one of the things I like when we compare these two, let's compare God and the way of the worlds. The world in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, don't be conformed. Do not be conformed to this world and the world. And that's it's very easy for us to be conformed to this. Well, as non-Christians, we are following the world's system, the world's way. But we as Christians, Paul tells us specifically not to be conformed to this world. Now, many things in the world are part of our culture. I'll give you an example, a language. You know, you're free. You speak English, and you're free. You come here, you can talk, we can do that. But what if I take you to Kenya? I go to Kenya. I do not speak any language there except English. So when I go in, I'm not free. All right? So my culture, my language has made me free here, but it's sort of made me a slave to my language when I go to other countries. And we have to be careful of our culture. Our culture becomes so comfortable. It's like breathing. We breathe. We're here. We're free. We can do what we want. Or it's like a fish in water. It's very comfortable there. But you put it in another situation. You take a fish out of water and put it in air, and it's difficult. And it's the way the way we live. Our culture is neutral, but it can become we can become a slave to it, so that we're doing. How shall I put it? Culture helps us, but it also can hinder us. And this, I think, in the world. So we have to look at our way we do things. Are they something of the world, or are they something God? God has given us culture, so that we can. I think, love one another. We can help one another. But we have to be careful that we don't let the world mold us into its image, and that we're doing what it wants and not what God wants. So we'll just think about this, and we'll finish with this. So we have the privilege of being God's children. We have his DNA. If we have believed in him, if we have accepted Christ as his son, and we've accepted the sacrifice of his sacrificial love for us, that we could be set free from our sin and be truly free. So we have that. And God has made that available to us freely. And we are his children if we believe in him. And then we have that DNA in us that enables us to live as God's children. And enables us to love. Enables us, we have peace, we have joy. We have those things through the Spirit. And that's what God has. And this is what we have to offer, we can offer to the world. It's not just forgiveness of sin. That's where it starts. But it is a new life with a full life, a life more abundant. And I trust that this morning, as we think about this, that it will be a blessing to you. And you can think, along these characteristics, do I have... are there areas where I need to be working? Do I have it? First of all, do I have this? If not, you don't. You've not been born again. You don't have God's DNA, and you don't have the nurturing that the body of Christ and the Spirit can give you. So you need to consider that. And if we are believers, where are we in our value? Do we have love? Do we have life? Do we have light? And are we living as God would want us to do? So I really would encourage you this week to consider, really, just even in your Bible reading, whatever, read 1 John. Read through several times and look at these things, how important belief is, how important obeying his commands are, how important love is. And these other things that come in as part of being a child of God. It's been a privilege to share with you this morning. And tonight I'll be sharing a little bit about the ministry that God has given me. And what I'm looking forward to doing starting in the middle of next month. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be a song or not. Yeah, Dave here. Close with the song and we'll...
And also, thank you so much, brother. I wanted to say a word to you all. We always...